Across America and around the world, once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
And, folks, we've got a good one for you tonight, I can assure you. I had homemade turkey soup tonight with homemade biscuits. What did you guys have? All of you Kiwis down there in New Zealand, if you see my good friend, Bob Swan, his wife Kay, give them my love. You'll probably find them hanging out around their boat, their sailboat, on their world sail tour, down at some marina somewhere. But I know that's where they're at. They've been listening to The Hour of the Time all the way across the Pacific. And if you have any doubts about who Bob Swan is, he's my friend. Where is everybody, folks? How come there's only a handful of people down at the Branch Davidian trial? What's the matter with America? Well, I'll tell you, folks. They're all over at the penis trial.
We got to do our alma mater. We must do our alma mater. When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o. Took me to grammar school, but I stopped off in the best of you. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling. You know what I heard? I hear two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This is a free country. Live like you want to live, baby. Yeah. Ain't nobody gonna knock it, darling. Mm-mm. Yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. One guy right over here singing mine, too. That's all right, brother. Yes, sir. You got a right, baby. Ain't nobody gonna bother you. See? Once I was climbing the garden wall, I slipped and had a terrible fall. I fell so hard I heard bells ring, but held on to my day.
Oh, all you people out there, you've got some dirty minds. Remember, that was a toy his grandmother gave him. What's this great preoccupation in America, folks, with the phallus? Have you been already so indoctrinated into the New World Order that you're following the search for the obelisk without even knowing it? Is that why everybody's at the penis trial instead of down trying to protect our freedoms at the Branch Davidian trial? Well, we're going to find out in the next few weeks, aren't we? We're going to find out how much Americans really care about freedom. I know that many of my good friends in Hawaii do care a great deal about freedom. And I bid you aloha, all my brothers and sisters in Hawaii, in your fight for independence. And I pay my respects to your king, the rightful claimant to the throne of the country of Hawaii. Independence is the cry in Hawaii. The following are excerpts from a speech given by Professor Francis A. Boyle, the international law expert now advising Hawaii at Mabel Smythe Hall in Honolulu on December the 28th, 1993. The guideline for his speech is the Presidential Apology Bill, which most of you never heard of. He has gifted the people of Hawaii with an interpretation of the implications of this bill, which also can be obtained through an Ohana Council representative or from Senator Akaka's office. The Ohana Council asks that the people of Hawaii read the documents that they are sending out very carefully, as they believe that all the inhabitants of Hawaii have the right to be fully informed of the truth regarding the political relationship between Hawaii and America, that is, the United States of America. For the United States is admitting that the invasion, overthrow, occupation, annexation, starting in 1893 on up, violated all the treaties, violated basic norms of international law, and the United States Constitution itself in the overthrow of a lawful government, the lawful kingdom of Hawaii. Under international law, when you have a violation of treaties of this magnitude, the World Court has always ruled that the only appropriate remedy is restitution. Quote, "Now the United States government, after 100 years, has finally and officially conceded as a matter of United States law that native Hawaiian people have the right to restore the independent nation-state that you had in 1893 when the United States government came and destroyed it. And also then that as a matter of international law, the native Hawaiian people have the right to go out now and certainly proclaim the restoration of that state." This resolution clears up all these matters. You don't need to petition Congress to do it. Congress has given you everything you need right here to do it, if that's what you want to do. And the United Nations Charter provides the rest of the authority to do it, unquote. And he continues, "Congress is effectively conceding now that the statehood vote is meaningless as a matter of international law and United States domestic law, so you're not bound by it, folks. Rather, I'm suggesting you're now free to determine your own fate pursuant to the principle of self-determination. The state of Hawaii, the federal government, are the civilian arms of the military occupation authority and do not have sovereign powers. The sovereignty resides in the people." Whose land is it? Well, from what Congress seems to be saying, it's the land of the native Hawaiians. The native Hawaiian people still have sovereignty. You can't trespass on your own land. The trespassers then become the state of Hawaii and the land developers and the golf courses, and my friend Doug down in Texas will like that, and the resorts. You are simply the native Hawaiians asserting your rights under international law. This reversal of positions between who is the criminal and who is the victim, who is asserting their rights and who is violating their rights, has been effectively conceded by Congress in the Apology Bill, passed into law and signed by President Clinton. These are official findings of fact and law by the Congress of the United States. These findings bind all state and federal courts in Hawaii. As a litigator before the International Court of Justice, I would be able to take this law to the World Court and say the United States government has now officially conceded that it illegally invaded and occupied the kingdom of Hawaii, and for this reason, the native people of Hawaii would be entitled to a restoration of their independent status as a sovereign nation state.
He goes on, I could not predict how long this would take, what would be the consequences, how many states will recognize you, but I take it that the plight of the Hawaiian people is generally well known in the world, and there's a great deal of sympathy. It might be that you would be able to obtain recognition quickly, and especially if you pursue this process in accordance with principles of peaceful, non-violent struggle, and that is extremely important if you wish to have public opinion on your side. And I submit that's the most effective technique you have today. Gandhi threw the mighty British Empire out of India without using force. People power, what we call it today. And I submit that the native Hawaiian people would be able to do the same thing, moving in this direction and adopting the techniques of peaceful, nonviolent action, which is what Gandhi called for and brought down the British Empire. I would certainly caution you against trying to seek the same type of treatment that the federal government has doled out to the Native American Indians. Moreover, on the basis of this statute, you're entitled to a lot more. An independent sovereign nation state is one way a people who are threatened with extermination by means of genocide can attempt to protect themselves. What is the best way to protect the existence of your people, people of Hawaii, as a people? To proclaim your own state, reinstate your own kingdom, and then ultimately seek international recognition and finally United Nations membership. It's your future and that of your children and your children's children that is at stake. Well, what are the criteria? How can it be done? First, a fixed territory, and clearly we have the Hawaiian archipelago. Whose land is it? Well, from what Congress seems to be saying in the apology bill, it's the land of the native Hawaiians. The native Hawaiian people still have sovereignty. The sovereignty inheres in you. That means you have inherited it. And now it is for you to decide what to do with this sovereignty. The title to the land rested and still rests under international law with the native Hawaiian people. And bear in mind that the treaty signed by the United States government giving the Hawaiian people their own land has never been fulfilled, just like they did with the Native American Indian. The United States government has violated every treaty and every trust that the Hawaiian people have ever put in their hands. The title to the land rested and still rests under international law with the native Hawaiian people. Second, a population. A distinguishable population of people, the native Hawaiians, those who would trace their ancestry back before the appearance of Europeans on these lands, certainly the Hawaiian state could take the position that you'll set up a procedure to provide citizenship to all people who are habitual residents of the new state of Hawaii as of a certain date, on a level of equality with everyone else. And I have many friends in Hawaii. Many friends in Hawaii. I lived there for 8 years, dear listeners. I sympathize with them. Many a night, when I saw the plight of some of the Hawaiian people who used to own all of the Hawaiian islands and roam them at will with complete freedom, were relegated to little hovels down in the jungle of Waikiki. My good friend Eddie Spencer and I used to sit many a night and discuss the old days of Hawaii over a bottle of Hawaiian champagne, Primo. And I wish him well if he's still down there, and Black Joe and all the others. Certainly the Hawaiian state could take the position that you'll set up a procedure to allow me to come back and at least visit my friends if you're successful, and I know that you will be. Third, a government, and here you have the Kapuna Council, and you've traditionally had You don't need a government along the lines of the federal government of the United States or the state of Hawaii to have a government. Indeed, you already have a legitimate heir to the throne. Rather, what you need is a way to organize your people to govern your relations among each other, and clearly, you have that. And fourth, the capacity to enter into international relations, to deal with other states, and to keep your commitments. As I understand it, there are already states in the Western Pacific region that support the native Hawaiian people and probably would be prepared to give you diplomatic recognition as an independent state if this is your desire. You would probably obtain recognition in that capacity from a fairly large number of states. Folks, all of you in Hawaii, and many of you here in the United States, I urge you to obtain the literature from the Ohana Council. They are circulating this information to every inhabitant of Hawaii. They're sending you pure aloha, my friends. If the people of Hawaii would only read and take the time to research the histories and findings of the Ohana Council, everyone could be in harmony. The families of the islands are of the utmost concern to them. And the council hopes to give you peace, security, and a strong sense of belonging. They work with spirit and aloha. And I know that language sounds strange to many of you who have never visited or lived in Hawaii. But it is from the heart. And for those who understand the meaning of these statements, there's no explanation necessary. There are no hidden agendas. The offices of the Ohana Council are fully supplied with the documents of this history, and it's available to anyone who asks. If you'd like information, if you'd like to contact the Ohana Council Maui offices, the number, and you'll have to look up the area code. I forgot what it is, folks. I think it's 818, but you'll have to check that. The Maui offices are 871-5722. That's 871-5722. Or 572-6773. That's 572-6773. Your support, donations, and contributions are urgently needed to win the battles ahead of you, legal battles. And the Ohana Council is calling out all the residents of Hawaii to join and march once again to Iolani Palace to support and proclaim the human rights of a people. Their goal is 3,000 people from Maui. That's a lot of people from Maui, but you can do it. Why not 3,000 people from every island? And all of you listening in the Hawaiian Islands, why don't you get out and urge your neighbors and friends to support this march? Show up at the Iolani Palace in Honolulu. March to support and proclaim the right of the Hawaiian people to once again establish their own lawful, legal, and rightful kingdom. Meet at 6 a.m. at Clyde Falls. Ladies and gentlemen, 8 a.m., march to Iolani Palace begins. And I hope that many, many people turn out, and I hope that you are successful. And if you need anything to be aired over this radio program, you just let me know, for I am in your corner 100%. I want to thank CAGI members in Hawaii for providing us with all the information that we needed to make this broadcast tonight, or at least the first portion of it, and specifically CAGI member Joshua Blue. And the next bit of information comes from another CAGI member, Marcel Leroy. This is a Xerox copy of the New Age magazine. New Age magazine, January 1994, that's the date of the Xerox, July 1987. The New Age magazine. This is a Xerox copy of the cover of the New Age magazine, July 1987. July 1987, volume 95, number 7. Mr. Gun Control himself. Mr. Gun Control himself is on the cover of the New Age magazine. Well, folks, what is the New Age magazine, or what was it at that time? The official magazine of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry Southern Jurisdiction and of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, with its headquarters 13 blocks from the Oval Office of the White House. And on the cover of the New Age magazine is Senator Bob Dole, 33rd degree Freemason, engaged in, quote, the most wonderful work, unquote. That most wonderful work is internationalism and doing the work of the establishment, the secret societies. No matter which way things go, Freemasonry rigs the system for the insiders, always. The Patriotic Front is very silent on Freemasonry simply because their leadership is Freemasonry, and prior to this program you were listening to Radio Freemasonry. So-called patriotic organizations are controlled opposition. And the perfect working of the Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution. When are you going to wake up, sheeple? Most of them won't even mention Freemasonry. Won't even mention Freemasonry. Senator Howard Metzenbaum of gun control notoriety appears to the uninformed public to be at opposite ends of the political spectrum to Senator Bob Dole, yet he is a brother of the lodge. But all Freemasons hold hands under the table. 33rd degree Bob Dole feigned opposition to the Brady Bill and then helped pass the bill while you weren't looking. You can always depend on Freemasonry for treason. Treason. When are you going to start calling treason what it is, instead of apologizing for the scum? Fully 98% of United States politicians are Freemasons everywhere. So what should we expect from them? Gun control will make self-defense a crime in America and relegate the citizens of the United States of America and the citizens of the several states, what few there are left, to cowering slaves in the New World Order. Bob Dole knows exactly what he is doing. You think I'm joking? Bobo Gritz, Lieutenant Colonel James Bogrites, Bobo Gritz is the 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. And Charlie Brown, his partner in their organization, is also the 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. Wake up, sheeple. A little bit of humor here now from my friend down in Texas who always sends me something that makes me laugh, Doug Johnson. I'm not going to tell you where he's at. There's a lot of Doug Johnsons in Texas, lots of them. At the top of his letter, he says, I've already taken care of Kurt Saxon. He will straighten up and fly right now. I don't know what that's a reference to. I don't know why he wrote that. Bill Cooper. Listen to this, folks. He has a wonderful sense of humor, and his letters always seem to come at a time when I need a little bit of humor. This is Bill Cooper. I am guessing you went to the trial at San Antonio. Well, I wasn't able to, folks, because I have obligations right here at this microphone. But we have people in San Antonio covering the trial for us. And when anything significant happens, you will be the first to know. I'm guessing you went to the trial at San Antonio. You need a Hammond's World Almanac sold at every major supermarket and bookstore. addresses to everything, all agencies of government and societies, even several Masons' addresses. I just got through writing the USO, United Service Organization. I thank them for showing Barbara Eden and Marie Osmond at a Bob Hope Christmas show. But maybe you went to a USO show in Vietnam. Well, I did, folks. You notice Bob Hope always carries a golf club? Bob Hope owned a large chunk of Texas Oil Company. That is what Army helicopters used, Texaco Oil. There is a subliminal message there. U.S. golfers have got you idiots here in the jungle fighting the commies that swore to hang all the golfers when they took the world by storm. Doug, I don't know where you get your sense of humor, but it's right on the mark. This is something to think about. Right now, the USO is evaluating my thoughts, he said. Golfers are as bad as Masons. Do you know that when Tet, I was in full swing with the entire South being overrun, VC sappers and commandos taking over the U.S. Embassy in Saigon? Yes, I know, Doug, I was there. There was a U.S. Army helicopter pilot who had expended his ordnance. He gave a radio call that there was a company of VC with mortars northeast of Saigon proper at certain coordinates. The Arvin artillery unit was in support, so the chopper pilot was calling in the fire mission. The Arvins checked the location on their map, then called the pilot back, raising hell. It was all the top brass of the South Vietnam forces playing golf. The golf buggies looked like mortars. You see, they were playing golf while Americans were being slaughtered protecting the capital of their nation. I got to tell you, folks, Doug hates golfers. And he may be right. You know, we all pay for the golf courses, but who's out there playing golf? this is really good. This is the same deal we get here. The leaders hang out on the golf course while we work for low wages. And in parentheses, he says, I know. I have a very rich friend, and I've been there with him. Those people won't give you the sweat off their golf balls. I have done more charity work than a battalion of those cruds. They plot there with county commissioners to rip off taxpayers on construction. Those caught at the NASA ripoff in Houston here were working the deal at the golf course. So were the undercover FBI. Mark one good operation for the FBI. They're not all bad. Hey, Bill, how is Carolyn Nelson? Carolyn, would you like to...
I'm just fine, right here, laughing along with Bill at your letter.
He says, she has trouble with that equipment, feedback. Carolyn knows, believe me. And not from me. She's very conscientious, and whenever she does something wrong here, I'm telling you, she agonizes over it for a long time, and she shouldn't, because all of us make mistakes when we're learning.
You mean you're supposed to turn off the radio?
Yeah, but I've done the same thing. He goes on to say, this can be overcome if you set proper procedures. I like her. I wish she would not get uptight. There's much humor in the world. If you look, it will be your friend. It causes your enemies great hardship as he worries his efforts are wasted. Well, I'm going down to the county golf course to try to maim a golfer or two with a crowbar. It won't be on the news unless I were to use a gun. Dead people don't count unless it can be shown a gun was involved. And in parentheses, he says, I'm joking, Doug. Well, you're right on the money. You're absolutely correct.
Doug, don't you realize that it's really the grass seed sellers that are behind it all? It's the layer on layer on layer. It's not the golfers. It's the grass seed sellers.
That could be right. I think it's really... Have you noticed that there are a lot less birds, and in some areas, no birds? Remember the songbirds? When we were all kids, they were everywhere. They were on the lawns and the trees, on the fences, on the clothesline.
Those golf balls really hit something?
No, it's the grass seed. They took the seeds away from the birds and made the golf course.
Or maybe it's been sprayed, just like the cigarette of the tobacco field.
Maybe we should start a comedy hour. That might be a lot of fun.
At least one a year.
Absolutely one a folks, don't go away. It's time for us to take our normal little break here as soon as this clock rolls up and then one pops up here, which should be any second now, unless I started this when this minute began. But it doesn't really matter, because I'm going to take the break anyway.
We're going to get a second hand.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short pause.
I'm leaving now, up to you. Watching on you.
Well, what are you going to do? You're sitting there wondering what's going to happen to you. You listen to this program once every night, some of you twice every night. And you know what's coming. You're sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? And you're afraid to take your money and invest it. You're afraid to do anything with it. But you know darn well that each day that passes, the value of your money shrinks. It's smaller and smaller. Alan Greenspan himself, the great high guru of the Federal Reserve, has said that he cannot any longer hold rampant inflation in check. What does that tell you? I mean, if that's not from the horse's mouth, I don't know what is. And irregardless of what Jay Schwashinger and all the crooks that are taking your $300 a piece to fill out this form thinking that you're going to get back millions when the Delta forces get through rounding up all the gold after the Treasury Department has purchased the Federal Reserve. Oh, my God. Dear sheeple, what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you? I'll tell you something right now. You need, really quickly and really badly, and you can't get it from us anymore because we stopped doing it. We are not supplying food storage anymore because we busted our butt to get that for you. We spent a lot of money getting the materials and the send-outs and all that kind of stuff, and not one person took advantage of the tremendous price breaks that we were giving you. Not one person. The cheapest prices in the nation. For CAGI members, it was a $500 savings on a year's supply for four people, or 2 years supply for two people. And nobody took advantage of it. So, that's okay with me. We're not doing it anymore, but you need to put back 2 years supply of food and water. It comes from my heart, folks. We've got to do it. What's coming is not going to be good. The family farmers disappearing. Huge corporate conglomerates are taking over. You know what happens? Whether or not we have an economic crisis, food prices are going to go out of sight. It's one of the methods of basic control of a population. It's to control the supply of food. Number two, you need to do something to protect your assets. I'm not talking about making an investment that's risky. I'm not talking about going out and putting your money in and 3 months down the line or a year down the line making a big killing on the stock market. I'm not talking about buying a $5,000 coin that actually only has about $50 of actual gold content in it simply because collectors around the world have a big demand for it to fill an open space in their collection. I'm not talking about that, because if there's an economic collapse, nobody's going to have the big $5,000 to buy it back from you. Not only that, if you want to go buy a loaf of bread and that's all you got in your pocket, that's what it's going to cost you. And I'm not pinging on all these other guys who want to sell you those things. If you want to go out and buy them, that's fine. I'm just telling you that that's not what I'm trying to sell you. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I get absolutely nothing from our sponsor. Not one penny. Nothing. Nothing at all. I only have this sponsor to help you. To help you. If if they were to withdraw from support of this program tomorrow, God would make sure that we found the funds to continue to pay for the airtime. It doesn't worry me. We only have two rules in my family, and here at the research center, Carol and I only have two rules. My family and I only have two rules. Those two rules are, number one, trust in God. Number two, just do it. Very simple. Things are very simple around me. I want you to call Swiss America Trading. They're an honest company. They're the only company that I can honestly recommend to you and will back with my personal reputation. And if they ever do you dirty, you call me and I will make sure it's put straight. And if they ever engage in any criminal activity of any kind, I will personally stop their sponsorship of this program. You see, but I know all the people there. I've become friends with them. I know that they are good people, honest. They will not cheat you. Everything about their contract will be revealed to you up front. Again, before delivery, you will be called. And once again, you will be given all the terms of your contract, and it will be taped so that there is no misunderstanding. And then whatever you have purchased will be shipped to you with a 14-day return privilege if you just don't like the way they look. And they will either buy the coins back or the metal bars or whatever it is you purchased or replace them with more metal or more coins of like value at the option of Swiss America Trading. They also have a buyback plan. They're the only ones that will give it to you in writing. So call them. You need to protect your assets. You need to do it with someone who's honest, who won't cheat you. 1-800-289-2646. And I'm not implying that anybody else will cheat you, folks. I'm just telling you that I know these people. I recommend them to you. 1-800-289-2646. Call them now. That's 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know how you are. You know you tend to procrastinate. We all do. So call now. Take care of your loved ones now. Don't wait another moment. Those who rule the world from the dark shadows are fixing to pull the plug on all of us. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did.
Day after day, I'm more confused. But I look for the light through the pouring rain. So that's the game that I hate to lose. I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Welcome back to the Hour of the Time, dear listeners. This is my favorite time slot because many of the listeners have been listening to this program since its inception. It was May the 4th of 1992, actually. So this May the 4th, this broadcast will be 2 years old. And it seems like yesterday that we started. So, you are my favorite people. In the earlier hour, we have a lot of sheeple out there still who have not been listening for very long and, of course, need to be whacked upside the head once in a while. I try not to do that with this audience very often. I'm doing it quite regularly with the earlier audience because I have a theory. I've got to get their attention. I have to get the attention of the sheeple. Even if I have to make them hate me or make them mad at me, I must get their attention so that they begin to look at the real world. Once they do that, everything's going to be okay. Carolyn is always here in the research center, and she handles most of the calls while I am doing research, working on my new book, and handling mail and filling orders with Annie and Pooh, and a lot of other things. guys may not realize how hard we work around here. Carolyn works from the time she gets up, literally until late at night when she goes to bed. I do the same, only I get much less sleep than Carolyn or anybody else does. I'm usually up all day and most of the night and get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and then, bam, I'm at it again. But I wanted tonight for Carolyn to talk about what she does here and who calls and all of the things that seem to interest everybody, and let you know just a little bit about what it's all about here.
I'd like to make reference to that date of May 4th.
Uh-huh.
As a kind of a special day, I think. Are you going to a meeting, possibly?
Yes.
It's held?
Actually, it'll be the stockholders meeting for Gannett Company Incorporated. And tomorrow night, we're going to talk about that on both shows, the early show and the later show, so I'm not going to get into that too much tonight. But, yes, that's the date of the stockholder meeting. We'll be on the second anniversary of the Hour of the Time, and I hope that bodes well.
I hope so, too. I'd also like to make reference to the foods that we were offering to our listeners. Maybe you'll wake up a little too late to realize that we've missed a good thing here. I understand that down the road, things like guns may be offered in exchange for food. If you turn in your guns, you may be able to get food when the crunch is really here.
Now, what does that tell you?
And this year it was toys for food. Toys for guns, and I think you have to expect something as realistic as guns for food at some point in time.
And well, it may be even toys for food, only you giving your toys, your toy guns, maybe.
That's right, same thing. I was rather thrilled to hear Joshua Blue's paper about Hawaii, your explanation of the potential for Hawaii to regain their sovereignty.
They've been working on that for a long, long time.
And
this is nothing new in Hawaii.
Since we're talking about telephone calls here, I'm sort of waiting, and I think I've almost heard from my first member of an Indian tribe here in America that is beginning to work on the Indian tribes in the 27 states that have territories of their own, reservations, which they could claim for their own land and achieve their own sovereignty.
Well, by treaty, it is their land, and they are, by treaty, separate nation states with their own sovereignty, but the federal government is not letting them have that sovereignty. They're taking it away at every point.
Didn't you say something about the Social Security Act in 1924 that they...
When they accept, if the Indians accepted Social Security, they forfeit their sovereignty just like everyone else.
But couldn't they join the many Americans that are giving up their Social Security?
No, they're completely different situation, totally different.
Mm.
I'm sure they could, but I don't know how to go about it because I haven't really looked into it.
Well,
I should, because I'm part American Indian.
Right.
And it just galls me when these racist types write in and say I'm betraying the white race. Folks, I'm not the white race. I'm part American Indian. I have white blood in me. I have American Indian blood in me. My daughter is part Chinese, part American Indian, part English, Scotch, and Irish. My wife is Chinese. I only recognize one race, and that's the human race. And that's the race that ultimately will win all these battles, I hope.
Well, I'm hoping that the 307 tribes that are in America, and I understand there are 200 tribes in Alaska that could consider working together. When I visited the White Mountain Apache Reservation, I read in the Apache Scout that Gail Phillips, who's in charge of all the Indians in Arizona, stated very clearly that the Indians in Arizona were working more closely together because of some difficulties they've had with the governor. And I know on the White Mountain Apache Reservation, they're becoming aware, and if they got in contact with all of the tribes all over, I really look to them to help us to save our country.
They would be a very powerful group, wouldn't they?
I think so. I think there are over 2 million people. As I said, they have reservations in 27 of the 50 states. Well, that would be 28 if you count Alaska, and maybe 29 if we think of Hawaii as a group regaining their sovereignty. I hope I hear from somebody soon saying they're working on it. Now, some of the other people that I've heard from on the telephone that I'm really thrilled to hear from are mothers of young children. I think they're beginning to respond, to realize that they've got a responsibility to provide a better future and to help us to regain our Constitution and our freedoms, because what we're leaving for the children in the future is just not very decent. We get other information coming in, newspaper articles, books, newspapers. I was really tickled to receive the Pennsylvania report from the Freemasons of Pennsylvania. And
actually, it was an insert, a 20-page insert that was put in all the papers in Pennsylvania. By the way, we have an awful lot of listeners in Pennsylvania because we got a big, tall stack of those things that were sent to us.
And I think a lot of people were curious to know whether it was just in the state of Pennsylvania. So if anybody out there received them in other states, you'll have to call in and let us know.
Yes, and thank you, Kathy Myers and Joe and all the other people out there in Pennsylvania. We are always glad to hear from you. And, Kathy, I think of you all the time because what you send is always valuable.
Absolutely. And your newspaper just arrived today.
Now, also, the press release that you sent arrived today, which I will be using probably next week in one of the broadcasts.
Now, you might be curious about where some of the other callers are from. I hear from Australia, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Hawaii, just about all of the states. There are probably five or six states that I'm still waiting to hear from, and I really was thrilled about a month ago when the breakthrough came and I began hearing from the New England states. Of course, you know I come from New Hampshire, so Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. It was all of a sudden they started perking up and calling in. And now I know they're thrilled because of the 8 o'clock.
That's because of the earlier show.
Yeah, yeah.
On the later show, we were not getting a great audience on the East Coast because of the late hour. It's midnight there. So now they're catching the earlier show. And the people on the West Coast are not home from work yet on the earlier show. But I want to remind all of you that you can purchase the Sanjian ATS 818CS or the Radio Shack Realistic DX392, which you can put a tape in. You can get 120-minute tapes from Radio Shack. They're 1 hour on a side. They're good quality tapes. You can program your radio to tape this program either while you're asleep or while you're at work, either one, so you don't have to miss anything. The shows are not the same each night. They're different.
I'm glad you mentioned that about the tapes, because I know I didn't know there were 120-minute tapes until about September of this year. And let me caution you to be sure you get the right type of shortwave, because if you can't get the 5810 band, is that what it's called?
5.810
on your shortwave. You'll have to take it back and get one that does have it.
Yeah, and folks, don't buy a cheapy shortwave radio. Believe me, this is one instance where what you pay for is really what you get, or you get what you pay for, however you want to say it. And remember this. You need some alternate antenna or something that you can hook up to your radio besides the one that telescopes if you're having problem getting reception. You see, the most important thing in shortwave, besides getting a good quality digital synthesized tuning radio in the first place, is to have a good antenna. And I'm going to do a whole show about shortwave radios and antennas and antenna systems, where you can write to get these things and how much they cost and everything, so that you'll be able to have good listening on shortwave, not just to this show, but to any shortwave program that you want to listen to. Remember our motto? Listen to everybody, read everything, believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research. But the antenna is important, and I'll give you an example. You can buy a $100 cheapy, or you can buy a $30 cheapy radio and a $10,000 radio. And believe me, if you have an excellent antenna on that $30 cheapy radio, you'll have better reception than you ever will on that $10,000 radio without the same antenna. So just remember that.
We've just received a gift of a jumbo antenna, one for Bill and one for myself, and we're looking forward to hitching it up, or whatever you call it, and getting a little better reception.
But aside from Florida, Arizona is the lightning capital. Florida is number one. Arizona is number two. And believe me, we have some lightning shows here, folks, that are just absolutely spectacular. I've stood on a hill, which you're not supposed to do, but I've done it, and watched over 40 or 50 lightning strikes all around the horizon. It's just amazing. And so we have to make sure. You've got to remind me that when we hook these things up, we have lightning arresters on them.
All right.
I just thought of that.
All right, good enough. I can top your story, though.
And all you people out there, too, make sure that when you hook up an outside antenna, you have a good lightning arrester. We don't want anybody to get fried.
Right. I can top your story. When I was coming here from Port Isabel, Texas, driving by El Paso, the lightning storm was just ahead of me on the left as I was driving 45 miles an hour. It was dark, and there were 75 bolts of lightning, one right after another, and a few horizontal bolts. It was like nothing I'd ever seen in New England.
Well, I've never seen a horizontal bolt. I would like to see one. I can't even imagine that, really. Well, we got a caller. You want to take a call?
Great.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. You got a friend from Pennsylvania calling in.
Oh, good.
Great. That's not too far from New Hampshire.
Not that far. As a matter of fact, I took my kids up to New Hampshire for a week on a nice mountain lake up there this last summer.
Great.
So, listen, I've called in once before, and I remembered to turn my radio off as you pick up the phone, so I'm beginning to learn.
Good. You have no idea what that does to the all the equipment here.
Oh yeah. I've
well, once in a while you all find out there when we do it from this side.
Yeah. One of the things I was listening last night, and I tried several times and could not get in last night. But one of the things that occurred to me, and I was talking with my friends a couple of nights ago, and we all kind of got to the same conclusion at the same time. I work with here in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania with a taxpayer association, and we have an umbrella organization that covers about seven counties, and we've been fighting school taxes primarily. As we become effective, zeroing in on the issues and doing the research to the background, you know, what's the education association up to and things like that, the closer we get to the truth, the more flack we take. And of course, an expression that's been used before, old bombardiers used the expression, you know, you get the most flack when you're over the target.
That's right. Those are evil people, and our children are your children are in their hands. My daughter will never go to a public school.
Yeah, I'm with you on that point. Outcome-based education, of course, is very big here in Pennsylvania. One of the things that we're beginning to see, and I converse with folks all over the country, is that whenever you speak out from whatever perspective, but whenever you speak out against public education and say, hey, there are problems, et cetera, you almost immediately, if you're effective, you're almost immediately labeled as a religious fanatic.
Well, that's right. I read the thing from Jack Anderson's column, and according to his what he said, all cults are Christians, and all Christians are cultists, and they're all going to have a gun battle with the federal agencies this year.
Well, that's very interesting, because that's the same conclusion that we came to.
Yeah, it's also a total, complete, utter lie.
Oh, I understand that.
These people are bringing about the New World Order hate Christians because Christians operate from a moral code. And in the New World Order, the law shall be, do as thy wilt shall be the whole of the law. There will be no moral code.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm just wondering if we're being set up, and the spokesperson, the mouthpiece for the NEA, and in our neck of the woods seems to be the People for the American Way, and their affiliate, which is the Freedom to Learn Network. I don't know if you're that familiar with those organizations, but that they all mouth the same speech.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have a constructive comment or rather a critique of public education, you're a fanatic and you're on the religious right, etc.
Yeah. Well, I only have one recommendation for everybody out there. These people are evil people. They do not mean well for our children.
go out, if you can, kick their ass just as quick as you can.
Yeah, well, we're working hard on that agenda.
And I mean that politically, not physically.
we're trying to take over our school boards and get them steered in the right directions, and we're making some success in this area. But anyway, it just occurred to me, and the haunting words came back to me from Janet Reno there at the end of the Waco thing, is that she said there's hundreds, even thousands of these occult organizations out there, and we're just going to have to go out there and get each and every one of them.
Yeah, and when,
that's right, thousands.
When she says that, she's talking about Orthodox Jews, Christians, and followers of the Nation of Islam. Specifically,
I could share with you too that when I was in an interview, I was asked what religious group I represented, and I was merely talking one to one to the tribal chief of an Indian reservation. So they're everybody's suspecting people of being a religious person.
Yeah, Carolyn is well known up here. She knows all of the Apache people and has been educating them into what's coming in the New World Order. Carolyn is not an Indian, but she's doing wonderful work with the Indians up here.
Good. Well, anyway, I wanted to share that with you. We are we're fighting a good fight down here, and we appreciate the fact that you've got the early and the late show. I'm generally out at meetings in the early part of the evening, and I tend to catch you at the late show. But I'll try to. To twist the dial a little bit earlier and catch your earlier show once in a while. I do have one of those short waves that you mentioned that's got the taping capability. I just picked that up.
Great. Listen, we're down to the wire and we've got to go.
Okay.
I want to thank you for calling.
Bye.
Okay, folks. We've reached the point where everybody's going to have to make a choice in this world. It's a spiritual choice. You've either got to fight on the side of good or on the side of evil. And you must make that choice yourself. No one else can make it for you. So, just remember this, folks. We're in your corner. That's why we're doing this. Fight for the human race. Fight for what's good. When you come to the fork of the road, it's real easy to make a choice. Determine what is right and take that path. Good night, and God bless you all. And I went to the local Masonic temple and knocked on the door and asked to be admitted. This was their answer.
You've been learning about the king for me. You've been learning about the king for me. You've been learning about the king.